Iran?
They suffer from two kinds of injustice.
یکی ستمی که حکومت خودکامه به همه مردم روا می‌داره.
One, the injustice perpetrated by the tyrannical system equally to everyone, to every
و دوم ستمی که به خاطر زن بودن بر زنان ما روا داشته میشه.
And then the injustice perpetrated toward them because they are women.
در قانون اساسی ما زنان از بسیاری از حقوق محرومند.
In the Constitution of the Islamic Republic, women are deprived of several fundamental rights.
همینطور در قانون مدنی و قانون مجازات اسلام.
Also in the Civil Code and in the Islamic Penal Code.
رضا شاه به زور زنان ما رو بی حجاب میکرد، حکومت جمهوری اسلامی هم به زور زنان رو با حجاب میکنه.
Under Reza Shah, the veil was removed by force, and under the Islamic Republic, they are forced to wear the veil.
And when will that protest be?
این حرکت اعتراضی کی خواهد بود؟
من دارم هماهنگ میکنم با داخل کشور و خارج کشور طی یک دو هفته آینده.
I'm negotiating with forces within and without the country, and it will take place within the next 2 weeks.
Akbar Ganji, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Iranian dissident, investigative journalist, held in Iran for years in prison and tortured, now speaking out in this country, refused an invitation by the White House. Translated by Hossein Kamali. I want to thank you both for being with us. And that does it for our broadcast. Our website is democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshire, Fodo Kadus, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Frank Lopez, Aaron Mate. Special thanks to Uri Galed, Angela Alston. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
The abuse of Earth's natural resources has created a storm that many animals and their habitats cannot weather. Help World Wildlife Fund give them shelter from the storm.
Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
You can protect animals and the places where they live by ordering a free World Wildlife Fund action kit. Call 1-800-CALL-WWF or visit worldwildlife.org. Together, we can leave our children a living planet.
Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall here on WUSB Stony Brook. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, where, oh boy, if I sound a little out of it, it's because this is Recovery Day. Actually, it's a day after Recovery Day for the Hope Conference that just took place this past weekend. And on top of everything else, I'm using delay here in the studio, and certain things are working, certain things aren't, but that's not your problem, that's my problem. But it's just a question of figuring it all out after a very sleep-deprived last few days, or even longer than that. I'll be taking phone calls. Hopefully those of you at the conference are listening as well, or if you know people who were at the conference, we'd sure like to hear from them. Our phone number tonight, as always, will be area code 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And while we have another broadcast tomorrow night on Off the Hook with probably a whole lot of people, tonight it'll be more of a sort of intimate gathering with just a couple of people and, of course, you on the phone. But boy, what a conference. It's over. It's we recovered. We made it. And we're hearing nothing but good things from the people who attended, from the people who were speaking, from the hotel. It's really, truly a good thing, I think. I have a special guest in the studio with us today. AutoJack makes it here all the way from San Diego. How you doing?
Good.
It's been a while since you've been in these studios.
Yep.
Yeah. And all sorts of people have been around. They've been floating back and forth, mostly in the city. So there will be a few people tomorrow, I think, still left. But there's people from all over the world that we've been hanging out with over the past few days. And what can I say? If you've ever thrown a party for a couple of thousand people and been expected to hang out with a lot of them, it really does wear you down after a while. It really does. I mean, especially when you have to organize a conference as well, make sure everything's running smoothly, and talk to all sorts of differing people about all sorts of issues. But it worked. It worked thanks to all the folks who got involved, volunteered their time, and are zombies now too, along with me and so many others. So we'll be calling a couple of people to get their views, to get their input, feelings, things like that. But AutoCheck, you've been to a few Hope conferences.
Yeah.
How does this one compare?
I thought it was pretty good. I think my favorite part were the addition of the hammocks.
Hammocks. Now, maybe you want to describe what that means exactly.
In the downstairs area, the area known as 2, they had...
Can I just butt in for a second? Because I realize we're throwing around terms now.
Okay.
We're saying things like 2. We're saying things like hope, even.
Right.
And there's probably people driving on the expressway right now, or maybe just turning on the radio for some reason, or even listening on the internet, or maybe in the future listening to an archive of a random show and wondering what in God's name we're talking about. What is this hope you speak of? What are these 2 levels and hammocks and things? Very quickly. The Hope Conference is a series of conferences that we have sponsored, we being people at 2600 Magazine, people in the hacker community. Hope stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. The first one took place in 1994 at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City, same place the one this past weekend took place. It's right across the street from Penn Station. Great location and everything. You just kind of stand on the street and watch the city go by. The second one took place in 1997. That was called Beyond Hope. The third one in 2000, H2K. The fourth one, 2002, H2K2. And the fifth one was known as the Fifth Hope. It took place in 2004. This one had kind of a sixth theme to it because not only was it the sixth conference, it took place in 2006. And on top of that, we had a kind of prisoner theme as well. Because of, well, number 6 in The Prisoner. That was kind of cool. We had a little bit of fun with that, and a lot of the staff people were number 2 in the series. Number 2 is always changing. He or she is the interrogator, the person working for number 1. And of course, at the end of the conference, we did reveal who number 1 was, but we're not going to go into that here. What was your number, AutoJack?
Me?
I don't recall your number.
I think it was 1397.
I hope you're right. I hope the real 1397 isn't out there listening if it isn't. No, because we would address people by their number, not by their name, throughout the entire weekend, and they had to respond, or they wouldn't get the message. Simple as that. We introduced our speakers by number.
I'm still trying to forget.
It was a blast. Okay, so now we have some context. We know what Hope is. Now we had several different levels of the building. Of the Hotel Pennsylvania, the 18th floor, that's where the big meeting rooms are. And it used to be that that's the only place that we occupied. But now we've grown to the state where we actually have what used to be a sports authority. Imagine this, a huge retail store on the second floor. It used to be right next to the hotel, and the hotel took it over and now uses it for conference space and shows and things like that. So you have a street entrance right there on 7th Avenue. You can walk in off the street and take the escalator up to the second floor, and there's all this space where you can do all sorts of things, and that's what we did, and hammocks were one of the things, and there you go. Tell us about the hammocks.
The hammocks, okay. Well, the hammocks are just hammocks that you lay down in, and in front of the hammocks, there are gigantic screens that are showing panels that are currently going on, or panels that have already happened during the conference. And it's far more comfortable than actually going upstairs and sitting in an uncomfortable chair and, you know, watching people talk on end about whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was amazing. We we set up a kind of a video space in that area. We experiment with this every conference. We do things a little bit differently. I think this conference we really got it right as far as how to set up that second floor, because it's kind of an awkward space, a lot of pillars, and it's not really set up for meeting space. It's just a big, huge former retail space that you can do whatever you want in. But this time we set up part of it to be a video space that's played all sorts of clips of various kinds, old films from the 50s and propaganda things. It was cool, but we had the hammock set up. And people would just kind of relax there. They'd get onto the internet because we had wireless throughout the entire place and a really good connection as well. And we also, for the first time, had a lot of vendors that were downstairs and peddling their wares, and quite a diversity of things that we had there. We had Segways. We rented a few Segways, a couple of Segways, and people got to ride Segways for the first time in their lives. And boy, what a lot of fun they had. So they say. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got seriously injured. We were afraid. You know, we were afraid when people were riding these things around, they're going to go right through a window or into a wall or something like that. And, you know, it's kind of frightening when you first get on the thing. You don't know what it's doing. If you've never ridden a Segway, it's really a bizarre feeling. You lean forward and it moves forward. You lean back, it moves backwards or stops. It's bizarre. I mean, you rode it for the first time, right? Well, actually, you rode it before the conference.
Yeah, my next door neighbor actually has one, but I had a lot of fun riding them at the conference as well.
Yeah, I don't know. They work through magic, apparently.
I don't think it's magic.
Well, if you try introducing those a few centuries ago in various places, you would be heralded as some kind of a god or something like that. So.
Yeah, I believe that.
Fire up the time travel machine, and we can have a whole lot of fun. So that's sort of the basic layout of the space on the second floor. But of course, we also had a whole bunch of speakers, over 100 speakers, talking about all sorts of things. We had Jello Biafra there. We had Richard Stallman there. We had all sorts of people from the hacker community and people from outside the hacker community. We had a comedy team. We showed a premiere of a movie that a bunch of hackers are in. It was nonstop action, nonstop activity. Oh, my God. I'm still feeling it in my head. My head is still a rush. Started at 9 in the morning and went on and all night long, deep into the night. I'm going to try and call somebody now, actually. Let me get a dial tone. And let's see if we can reach somebody and if this actually works. I'm sure it does take a while for phone calls to connect. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mike?
It is.
Hello, Mike. This is Emmanuel Goldstein from Off the Wall.
Oh, I've heard of that program.
You may have also heard of me on such programs as Off the Hook, in the past, Brain Damage, The Voice of Long Island. You may have seen reports of me in newspapers various times, causing trouble, getting into trouble, things like that. The purpose of my call today, Michael, is to ask you if you'd like to talk to us.
Call me Michael.
I'm sorry?
Did you just call me Michael?
I'm sorry. Was that inappropriate?
Well, not many people do.
What should I call you? Mikey?
Well, whatever you like.
How about Mikhail? That has sort of an ethnic ring to it.
Anyway.
Well, okay, let's call you Mike for the sake of... well, I'm speaking into a microphone, and that way it'll be easy to remember. Mike, you were one of the people that was one of the coordinators of this HOPE conference, of which we've been speaking, of which you have not heard because you haven't been on the air until now. But we've been basically, Autojack is here, and I'm here, and we're just sort of reminiscing about what happened a couple of days ago.
Well, a lot happened over the past few days. I don't want to be repeating what you've already discussed.
We gave basically the layout of the place, where things were, things we tried for the first time. We can start with this. I know you coordinated a lot of the vendors that were on the second floor, and that's something we never really had before. We never had people from all over the place showing off what they make, what they create, and having a good reaction to this. We've experimented with it in the past, but it's only been a handful of people, and this time it seemed to really explode.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that was, but we had a number of vendors. No Starch Press is one of the big ones who's been there every time. They were selling a lot of books. The folks at Prometheus Radio Project were making T-shirts, not merely selling them. They were actually making them that said that the Internet is made of tubes.
Now, okay, a lot of people are saying that these days, and a lot of people are confused as to why they're saying that. Why are so many people going around saying the Internet is made of tubes?
Well, because Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, in an attempt to explain why he opposes network neutrality, said that the Internet is not a truck, it's made of tubes. And many people who have actually used the Internet, unlike apparently Mr. Stevens, are still trying to figure out what he meant by that.
It's not a truck. That's his point, it's not a truck.
It's not a truck.
All right.
Made of tubes. It's tubes. You can't just go dumping stuff on the Internet. It's not a truck, it's tube.
Now, this is not you saying this now. This is him. You're quoting him. You haven't lost your mind or anything.
I do concur with his judgment that the Internet is not a truck, but I'm not really sure that anyone is helped by that information.
Did anyone say that it was a truck? Is that what started all this?
No. He's just crazy.
Okay, so you have the senator from Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Where actually one of our coordinators, Greg Newby, comes from as well. So I don't know if he's feeding him misinformation or something. Okay, so you have a senator going around saying that the Internet is not a truck and it's made of tubes. And these T-shirts, tell us about those.
Yeah, they said the Internet, : a series of tubes. And they had a picture of fallopian tubes and related.
And everybody wound up wearing these things. I think it even wound up to be one of the screensavers on between speakers upstairs.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
The folks from Prometheus who do all kinds of other great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prometheus Radio Project.
Yeah.
The guys who launched low-power FM radio stations.
More or less, yeah. I'm sure Stevens has something to say about those, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he would. Who were some of the other vendors that were down there?
We had the TV Begons.
Oh, my God, the TV Begons. Yeah, we met Mitch Altman for the first time, and what a cool guy he is. Every time we went out to get food somewhere in the village, TVs would be going off all around us. You'd know who was responsible. I mean, hey, the TV suddenly went off. Hey, Mitch Altman is sitting next to me. How could that have happened? And of course, now he gave out a whole bunch more of those things, and TVs are going off every place.
Yeah, we had people making wallets that are RFID protection, so you can keep your RFID cards in them and still not be scanned from afar.
And those are proven to have worked, right?
Yes, I believe they had a demonstration of sorts right there.
Cool.
Make Magazine was there.
Make Magazine. That's one of the great ones. In fact, our old webmaster, Phil Tyrone, who I've seen for the first time in many years at the conference, only for a few minutes, regretfully, but it was so great seeing him again. He's one of the main people at MAKE. And it's just great to see how everybody has progressed over the years, how we're doing so many different things, yet we can all come together once every couple of years to share all this, turn on some new people to what we're doing, and you know, let everyone know we're all still there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I think, you know, it might be too early, and I might still be sort of, you know, in a sleep-deprived state where I don't know what I'm saying, but I have to say, I think this one was the most fun. It felt that way.
Well, there was, I don't want to disparage any previous conferences.
No, but, you know, I mean, no, you don't have to disparage any, but I just think this one was the best.
Okay.
But feel free if anyone out there thinks it was the worst or it wasn't so good or... you know, or if I'm not giving it enough praise, feel free to let us know. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. We'll be taking phone calls in, I guess, just about 10 minutes or so. Mike, any highlights speaker-wise that you can think of?
Well, I actually didn't have time to see a lot of panels, but one that I did get to see was called Hack the Palette.
Hack the Palette, yeah.
The Palette.
Good old Gweeds.
In which the cooking show meme, I guess, comes to hope. But instead of using fry pans, he was using dehydrators and a vacuum device. And he was looking for liquid nitrogen, but I guess you can't buy it on Saturday. And all kinds of other really weird equipment. And I didn't get a chance to try it, but the people who did said that what he made was really good, and it was certainly an entertaining talk.
It was, and you know, Gweeds was having all these dinner parties all throughout the city, and I didn't get to go to a single one of them because I was too busy.
Yeah, I wasn't invited, so.
Well, I think we all were invited by default, but we just, how could we get away, you know? It's you live in that place. You really do. And the preparation for the conference, I mean, we've been working on this for over a year, right?
Well, we've been working harder more recently, but yeah.
Well, no, Mike, that's called panic. Panic as we realize how close it's getting and, oh my God, we still haven't done this. And it just gets more and more frenzied up until the actual day. And I have to say, the days before, they're the most stressful. When it's actually happening, when you see things actually working, then you can relax a little bit. Yeah, it's still going on. You still have to do things, but it's actually happening. And that's when I actually started to feel good for the first time in a while was when it had begun.
Yeah, for me also Friday, I did a lot of running around. But Saturday and Sunday, I had some more time, and it was good.
Yeah, it really was.
We had LED throwies. Did you talk about those?
Oh, no, the throwies. Tell us about the throwies.
I don't know if people are familiar with these, but what it is a an LED, which makes light. A battery, a magnet, and a piece of tape. So basically, this is an electronics project that's so simple that even I can do it. And so you tape it all up, and you can throw it, and it sticks to metal surfaces and makes light. And it's really neat if you're amused by light things, as most people are. A lot of us put them on our buttons, which were magnetic, so we could have light ahead of us at all times. And, you know, everyone loves these things. We took a bus downtown to get dinner, and there was a kid, maybe, I don't know, 4 years old on the bus who was fascinated by it. And I think most of us have not grown out of that.
I guess that's sort of what that sums it up right there, that if a four-year-old is fascinated by it, we're probably interested by it, too. It's yes, and the throwies were very, very popular.
And the people who made them, the Graffiti Research Lab, also gave an excellent talk, which is one of the other ones that I did get a chance to see, throwing all the places that they put these and some of the other projects that they've done. So that was a lot of fun, too.
And, of course, lockpicking, the Lockpicking Village. You want to tell us something about that?
I don't really know a lot about lockpicking because, as I mentioned last week, I never really have time to learn at a time when I have any hand-eye coordination available to me. But at all hours of the night, at like 3 a.m., there were always at least 20 people just like hunched over these locks, playing with them and trying to understand what makes them go. So that was kind of good to see. Although it was really weird because any other activity going on at that time was sort of, you knew about it because it was drawing a crowd and whatever. but these lockpicking people were sort of so focused that unless you were looking right at them, you wouldn't have known they were there.
I'm just looking at various websites that are talking about that. We had a lot of press coverage. I think we had more press coverage this year than ever before. We had media people from all over the place. And there were a number of articles about it appearing in various newspapers. But I think the news event that might have stolen the show was the fact that one of our speakers was stolen from the show. Our own Steve Rambam, who does private eye work and has been at every single conference, wasn't able to actually make it to speak to the main conference. He had a series of seminars on Saturday. That were intensive private eye investigative types of talks, and at the end of that, he was taken away by the FBI, and we were trying to find out all weekend long just what was going on, and everybody in the conference was all abuzz about this, and that's kind of what made a lot of the papers. Let me read you what came over the Associated Press late last night, just so that the updates are up to date, and if there's anything incorrect here, we can of course point it out. The private investigator who was the inspiration for the fictional detective in Kinky Friedman's crime novels was charged Monday with intimidating a witness by impersonating an FBI agent. Steve Rambam denied the charge at his arraignment in Manhattan federal court and was released on his own recognizance. That's good news. I never said I was a police officer or federal agent, said Rambam, after the proceeding. He was charged with one count of impersonating an FBI agent. He is accused of trying to intimidate an FBI informant in a pending criminal trial by showing up at the informant's family's house and questioning them. The complaint says that during the April 2006 visit, Rambam introduced himself as an FBI agent, flashing a wallet containing what appeared to be a laminated card with a gold government seal or badge. He was arrested at a New York hotel Saturday as he was about to give a lecture at a computer hacking conference. The FBI handcuffed him and led him away in front of a stunned audience. Okay, well, I guess I have to step in now and say that that's really not how it happened. He was not arrested in front of a stunned audience unless you want to count the handful of people that was in the hallway that when they did this quietly.
Yeah, well, we're used to things like that. We don't get stunned.
Yeah, there was an amazing article in the Post yesterday. The New York Post had this shock bust at HackerCon or something like that. Just the typical New York Post type of style of writing, which was rather funny. I'm sure Steve got a good kick out of that. The audience was stunned when we told them what happened. Yeah, that was they certainly got stunned then. But it didn't happen in front of the crowd. It didn't even happen technically at the conference because he was leading these seminars that were sort of an offshoot of the conference. Anyway, his attorney, Terry Todd, told the court Monday that Rambam conducted an appropriate private investigation of the FBI informant. He argued the informant's family members who were interviewed by Rambam in California spoke only Vietnamese, and he questioned their credibility in stating that Rambam represented himself as an FBI agent. A telephone call to the FBI for comment was not immediately returned on Monday. Steve Rambam is a private detective. He's been one for 25 years. He was inspiration for the detective with the same name in Friedman's series of murder mystery novels. His titles include Armadillos and Old Lace and The Love Song of J. Edgar Hoover.
That's Friedman's titles, not Rambam's.
Yeah, Rambam is not an author as far as I know. He's also a musician, independent Texas gubernatorial candidate. I don't know why they're getting into all the detail about him. Steve is scheduled to come back into court on August the 7th. So, of course, we'll be updating people on that. But I have to say, you know, I've known Steve for a number of years. He's helped me out in so many different ways with all sorts of problems, finding out things about certain bad things that are happening, helping good things to happen in a better way. And everything I've ever done with him, he has been completely by the book. And, something like this, impersonating an FBI agent, it's the dumbest thing in the world to do. And someone like Steve, of all people, doing that, it's insane. It's the craziest charge I've ever heard. And to me, it's an incredible slap in the face to grab this guy right before he's about to address thousands of people and talk about privacy issues. I mean, why at that moment was it necessary to do this? If it's some kind of an investigation where he's released on his own recognizance, I don't know. It strikes me.
It seems like they just were able to get him at a time when they knew where he'd be. If you go to his website, you know, he said he'd be speaking, which makes him easy to find. He doesn't really publish his address, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, fine. But if you're the FBI, I imagine you would know his address. You would be able to find him. The guy's a private eye. He meets people all the time. He appears at conferences all the time. He's not somebody who is hiding or on the run. He's really easy to track down. And plus, they could have done this after he spoke. He was going to be around all weekend. So, I don't know. The whole thing leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Again, we'll have more details on this as we learn them. But yeah, that was the main thing that a lot of the papers focused on. Of course.
By the way, I think I can now say that I am reporting on this from outside the federal court in Manhattan, but I don't think that actually gives me any more information than anyone else.
So you've run down there to get more information?
Really just to kind of stand here and talk about it, but we can pretend like I'm getting more information if you like.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. I'm sorry if I sound a little bit out of it, because I am pretty much out of it after all this activity that's been going on. And it's kind of, it stops. It just suddenly comes to an end, and it's over. And, of course, there's an inevitable letdown that we'll all feel after that, but also a sense of relief. Autojack, I'd like to let you pipe in and say a few things, since you've come here all the way from California.
Pipe in. About the conference, you mean?
About the conference, about the whole experience, about previous conferences.
Okay. Well, let's see. I enjoyed, the Segway thing, but we already talked about that. I enjoyed the hammocks. Already talked about that. Let's see. Richard Stallman's speech was really cool.
Richard Stallman, yes. Now, this was interesting because he gave one of the keynotes, the Friday keynote. We were in a bit of a panic because we couldn't find him. He was supposed to be speaking, I think, at 4 o'clock, and it was 4 o'clock, and he wasn't there. And Richard does not believe in carrying a cell phone, which made it very hard to pick him up at the airport, too. It made it especially hard when he wasn't around and we didn't know where he was. So we had people search the entire area of the street and everything. And I talked to our friend Tony from Ohio, one of our security guys, and I just described Stallman the best I could. And I said, look for him in the hotel lobby, maybe. And he had never seen him before, but he found somebody that vaguely fit that description. And you know what? If it wasn't Stallman, he did a pretty good impression. We got him up to the 18th floor, and he gave a really interesting talk while there was a massive thunderstorm going on outside. You could see lightning bolts striking into the city while Stallman was speaking. And I just think something like that kind of a day for people who have never been to New York before, on the top floor of a building, skyline of New York all around you, Richard Stallman giving a terrific speech and lightning bolts.
But Richard Stallman has the power to conjure lightning bolts into existence.
He does.
He's a saint.
Yeah, he's a wizard. We all know this.
Yeah.
But it's good to see it flexed like that.
So, yes.
Yeah, that was cool. Oh, and of course, Kevin Mitnick wasn't able to make it because he was taken ill in Colombia, which I guess if you need some kind of drug to get you out of something, that's a good place to be. And hopefully he'll be much better. I think he's back in the States. I'll have a verification on that by tomorrow, hopefully.
So what was this about Dello Biafra and his, well.
Go ahead, say it.
Oh, yeah, there we're on know. 7-second delay.
Well, no, don't say that, because I don't know how to work it necessarily.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do it.
Okay, I'll say his butt was hanging out.
Well, it wasn't hanging out the entire weekend. There was a moment where he...
I wasn't there for it.
Mike, can you explain this any better than we can?
I don't think so. No, I was downstairs at the time.
I've only seen pictures.
I talked to some people who were shocked to have seen it on the monitors that we had running this speech from the 18th floor to the 2nd, but I was not one of those people.
Okay, well, it was some kind of a statement that was being made towards who?
I don't know. Nobody seems to know what he was trying to make a statement about. Well, just that he said somebody's name and then he bared his butt.
Well, I think people who were there watching might have...
No, I've talked to people that were there, and nobody knows. They were just so shocked. They don't know what it was he was talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe they were traumatized, and it went straight out of their heads, what he said right before that.
Yeah.
We'll have to look at the DVD and listen to the audio, which hopefully will be up soon on the website, and figure it out then. But it definitely was memorable. And
I hear that he's hairless.
Oh, you know, I don't need to know things like this.
Okay, right. Let's move on.
Let's move on, please. 631-632-9872. Our phone lines are open, and we'd like to talk to you if you were at the Hope Conference or if you have any kinds of comments or opinions on various things that went on during the last several days in New York City. I have to say it was an unusual weekend because of all the chaos going on around us. I don't really understand why there was so much chaos going on around us. And what I'm referring to is the power situation in the city, particularly Queens. For the last week or so, there have been residents in Queens that have had no power. And the reason has been, I guess, a heat wave that took place a week ago and some rain and lightning, maybe. Does that make sense, Mike?
That's what I've heard. It makes sense on a sort of superficial level that what you just said was, in fact, in English. But on any other level, I don't really get it.
Yeah. I don't get it myself, but we had fun with it. Certainly social engineering we were able to do something with by, well, this year, what did we do? We called a McDonald's over in Queens and said that, you know, okay, your power might be on now, but it might not be if you keep wasting electricity, so turn off one of your air conditioners or your lights or your cash register or something like that, and it just caused a bit more confusion, and that was a bit of fun, and I hope we didn't traumatize anybody too badly. But it's we took that trip to get we needed some AV equipment, and we had to go from 34th Street, where the hotel was, or 32nd Street, up to, I think, 48th Street, and it was pouring rain. This was on Saturday. It was pouring from the heavens, rain like you'd never seen before. So you, me, and A-Team went into the subway, and there were rivers in the subway. There was rain coming from the ceiling, and it was like it was all falling apart.
I've lived in New York 7 years at this point, and I don't think I've ever before seen a river in the subway.
Yeah, but it was there. It was there. Rivers, streams, and...
It was.
Unbelievable. So we ran around taking care of that, but it was a great sense of just chaos, and chaos can be a fun thing. It really can be. Any other comments, Mike, before we really open up to phone calls, which are not coming in, by the way, so I don't know if our internet feed is up or if people are listening or have... no comment, or if everybody's just sleeping. I don't know. 631-632.
Or blocked? The two. They may all be blocked up.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is this board is so messed up. I keep trying to get the audio from your phone out over the board, and it keeps... I'm sorry, folks, for the bad sound of this, but it's just not working properly. So I'm hearing you fine, but I know the listeners are hearing you cut in and out. But yeah, if you have any opinions, please give us a call, 631-632-9872. Any concluding remarks, Mike?
No, I just want to thank all the people that helped make the conference a success, yourself included, and the many, many others.
Okay. Keep talking while I wire the board here with my hands.
He's ripping apart the board here.
I have to do that because it's in such bad shape that nothing works. Ugh, so annoying. Okay, keep going.
One of the stories that I actually told at the closing ceremony, but which continues to amuse me, is the hammocks. I don't know if you talked about the hammocks. We had these hammocks that people could lie on and watch some videos or some simulcasts of some of our panels. And our friend Rob from the Netherlands... originally promised he was going to construct hammocks, but then sort of backed down and just bought some hammocks that came with stands. And so he went to this place in Queens, promised to deliver them on Thursday, and as of, you know, 8 p.m., they hadn't come yet. So he figured he'd give them a call, not really expecting to reach anyone, let alone obtain the hammocks that day. But sure enough, he called Queens. Queens answered, or at least the hammock vendors in Queens. And they said, yeah, if you we're kind of busy today, but if you still want them, we'll be glad to head over. And so at like 11:30 on Thursday night, which is really about the last possible when we could still have them and have them set up for Friday morning, two guys in a very bright silver van drove up to the hotel with 30 hammocks for us. And so we were able to assemble them and have them available for our attendees to lie on, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, and I think that really...
have them for next time.
And we have them for next time, except for the two that the really big people sat on. but that's okay, all in good fun. We have,
you know, for what we paid each, we were expecting like half of them to be broken by the end, but only two broke, so it's okay.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Mike, we have some phone calls coming in. Oh, look, we had three, now we have one. But if you got disconnected, which I know the phone company will do sometimes, call back, 631-632-9872. We'd like to hear from you. Oh, there they are, they're calling back. Mike, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Off the Hook. Again, thanks so much for everything you've done to help make this conference a success, and I hope we do many more in the future.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Take care. Let's take some phone calls. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You are on Off the Wall.
How you doing?
Hi, what's up? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Patchogue.
Patchogue, New York. Okay, down there on the South Shore. What's on your mind?
I don't know. I just gave a call in. You didn't seem to have a lot of calls, so I don't know what you want to talk about.
Okay, well, were you at the conference?
No, what was the conference about?
All right, we're talking about the hacker conference that took place over the weekend.
The soccer conference?
No, the hacker, computer hackers, and soccer conference. No, basically a bunch of computer hackers get together every couple of years, phone freaks as well, and they put on a conference, and they invite the world, and the world sometimes shows up.
That's pretty intense.
It was pretty intense. It really was. We were all kind of drained and recovering from it. But I think we did good. I think we did good.
Well, hackers mostly hack to get something, don't they?
Not necessarily. They hack really to satisfy curiosity and learn and spread information around, which sometimes a lot of people think is a dangerous thing to do. And I don't know. It's fodder for a lot of debate.
Well, you've been a pleasure to speak with, and I hope your listeners are listening and supporting your service.
Oh, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. And he seems to have single-handedly fixed the phone problem because he's booming through really, really loudly, too.
Maybe there was something wrong with Mike's phone.
No, it was coming through our board. But
oh,
we'll
okay.
That later. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. I'm calling from Bulgaria.
Bulgaria. Now, listen, were you at the conference?
Well, not at hope. I couldn't make it. We'll talk about it.
Couldn't
before.
Make it. Yeah, well, I thought I convinced you to make it anyway, but I guess not.
Well, the main problem was the budget for travel there and back, which was,
Uh-huh. So were you able to follow it somehow over the internet?
Well, I was kind of bummed about that. I was hoping the wiki would be more, active during the conference, but...
That's the thing. Everyone figures that the wiki is going to get updated on a daily basis or even an hourly basis, but they forget that everybody's just so caught up in what's going on in front of them that no one has time to go and update things.
I was thinking it would... my impression from what the hack wiki was that it was more active, so I was wondering.
Uh-huh.
If you had any problems or...
Oh, of course. I mean, there's
just no one around there to bother with it.
No, there's always problems. In fact, one of the problems that really hit us good was one of our hard drives deciding to fail at our website, which nobody had time to deal with. So that was flaky throughout the entire weekend.
When the MySQL thing went down...
I'm sorry?
There was a point in which the MySQL the MySQL went down behind the wiki, and the wiki was saying, the localhost MySQL is down.
Yeah, all sorts of things happen when you have a million things going on at once. But one thing I can tell you is that we will be putting stuff online, and all the highlights and lowlights and pictures and commentary, it's all going to be there as soon as people...
They're planning on releasing the recordings from the lectures?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The audio should be online... much sooner than it's ever been online before. We just have to gather it all together and figure it all out.
Do you have plans to release DVDs in almost real time?
We're trying to. We're trying to. There's so much material. We're trying to get it all out there.
There was someone doing DVDs at the conference from conference talks and all that?
Yeah. Oh, no, we had them available at the conference, yes. And that's a first for us.
Could you maybe... sometime go into details of who that was and how they managed to do that and all that, because it sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't have the guy's name offhand, but just somebody who runs a company who does this kind of thing. And you might have seen it before at certain conferences, people show up with cameras, They record things, and they have a DVD burner in the back. They run to the back, make copies, and say, hey, this is available, the talk you just saw. And it worked out. We'd never done that before, and it was one of the new experiments we tried. And we all came together for that. And I got to thank him for coming out and taking care of that. Because usually we'd be really stressed out making sure that there's tape in the machine and that there's somebody watching the camera, and not just watching the camera but watching the presentation, so that when the person points out something on the screen, you don't keep focusing on his face.
I know. I was at the AV team on What the Heck, and
yeah,
there's all kinds of problems.
Oh, yeah.
It took them a while to release the videos.
Well, I fully intend to get this done as quickly as possible. But again, people do have to start waking up. And a lot of them are still asleep.
You sound pretty awake. I hope everything's all right.
I'm owed so much sleep. I don't know. I'm not sure how exactly it works, but you get like 3 hours one night, 4 hours the next. But your body is saying, okay, you know what? You owe me 5 hours from that day and 4 hours from the day before that. And at some point, it catches up. At some point, you sleep for like 20 hours. And you lose a day. But that day is not today. Listen, we're going to move on to some more phone calls, but hope to see you again soon at one of the Hacker events.
Yeah, I hope to see you too.
All right.
Have fun and have a good night.
Thanks, take care. Call from Bulgaria. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Arseny.
Arseny, wow. How you
all
doing?
All right.
One of our key coordinators.
You asked me if I wanted to be on the radio, but I didn't want to be, and that's good because I actually fell asleep. And I only woke up recently, and I decided to call in.
No, wait. I asked you if you wanted to be on the radio. You said no. Then you fell asleep, and you woke up, and now you do want to be on the radio.
Well, yeah, I guess I had a change of heart.
I see. Was it something maybe in your sleep that told you this?
Well, I don't know. I must have been so tired at the time, so I said no, and now I woke up a little bit more energetic.
Uh-huh. Well, good. It's good to know. So I guess you've heard some of what we've said, or wait, you were sleeping through
it. I've heard most of the show. Can we just talk about the DVDs for 2 seconds again?
Go right ahead.
I just heard that the quality on them is really good, and that everyone should buy them.
Mm-hmm. As soon as they're available. As soon as they were available at the conference, but we haven't quite worked out the website yet. We're still trying to fix the website. But yeah, they came out great from all reports that I heard, and it's just so cool to have that being taken care of in a professional manner, so that we don't have to run around going crazy trying to figure out why certain things aren't working. So I think that's one of the things that helped the rest of the conference go smoothly.
Sure.
So any other memories for you?
Well, I spent most of the weekend just running around making sure everything worked. I thought that the streams worked out well, and
streams meaning the simulcast down to the second floor.
We had a if you didn't feel like going up, you could just sit in a hammock or in a chair and just watch what's going on upstairs on, I guess, projected onto the wall. And it actually worked.
Yeah, it did. We were as surprised as anybody when that actually worked. But it worked well. And I think more people we've had problems in the past where everybody gravitates up to the 18th floor where all the talks are and kind of leaves the second floor, the huge former Sports Authority space, kind of not empty so much, but just not as full as it should be, because there's so many things that you can do with a space like that. I think we just had so many things going on this time, and the streams were a major part of that, the streams being sent downstairs so people wouldn't miss the talks if they wanted to see them and yet stay downstairs and participate in various activities there. We had the vendors, we had the segues, we had the video space. How did the video space turn out? You were coordinating that.
I collected the content for it, and Ethan, the guy who did the streams and everything, was sort of managing it, and I think it turned out well. I mean, when I walked through there, I saw that some of the stuff I picked out was playing, and I think a couple people told me that, yeah, they enjoyed the videos that were playing, but like I said, I couldn't really have time to check everything. But the other thing is registration. I don't know, I was there for a couple hours every day just to kind of relax, and we had a bunch of people asking for day passes. Do you think we could do something like that in the future?
We're always open to new ideas. I know the only problem with day passes is, well, you gotta make all different badges then and be checking, are you a Saturday or are you a Friday? The thing is, what we try to do, we try to price this thing as low as possible so that we don't completely lose our shirts. and hopefully break even. And it's usually, we don't know if we're going to break even. In fact, I have no idea how we did financially. I don't want to think about that for a while. So I'm not even looking at those numbers yet. I just want to make sure everyone's okay, everyone's gotten through it all, they've gotten their equipment back that they lent to us, and then we'll figure out, how badly we have to recover financially. So, you know, when we price the thing out, we try to make it as inclusive as possible, and that's why there aren't student discounts, there aren't toddler discounts, or well, maybe there are toddler discounts, but, you know, there aren't these further reductions in prices, because this is as reduced as it can possibly get. You know, we try to make it so everyone is able to participate in one way or another.
Yeah, well, come to think of it, I think we're actually the cheapest hacker conference.
In more ways than one, yes, we are the cheapest. No, in the good way, we're the cheapest hacker conference. I do believe you're right, because It is expensive. It is expensive, especially in Midtown Manhattan. You know, that's something you got to consider. So the fact that we can even pull this off at all is something that's a miracle.
Yeah. Well, Midtown does offer some bars that stay open pretty late.
They do. They do. And many of our attendees took advantage of that. I just thought it's cool to have people come to New York for the first time and be able to just sort of hang out in front of the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the streets are crowded with people, and you're able to just sort of see New York go by, and it's a positive thing. So many people, not only do they get a view of what hackers are about and what we're all about, but they get a view of New York that is completely contradictory to everything they've been told. And I've heard that from so many people, how, wow, New York is actually a really friendly and fun place to be, and safe and exciting and comfortable. And that's how you know you've reached people, you've changed their lives.
All right, well, I think I should go, but I'd just like to, again, thank everyone from coming from wherever they live, from Illinois to Europe to, you know, wherever they came from, and I think it's really nice that they all came out.
Well, Arseny, thanks so much for everything you did, and hopefully you're getting enough sleep. And
yeah, well, I rested, and I think I'll actually be on the radio again tomorrow.
Good, good. I think might be one of those really crowded off the hooks.
Oh, really?
I don't know. We'll see. Whoever is still around in town, we'll be talking to.
Taking money, are we?
Well, we're not begging for money tomorrow night, I don't think.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Thank God. all right, let's see if we can take one more phone call, then we're out of here as well. All right, talk to you soon. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the price.
Okay, go ahead.
You cannot go to a lunch one-hour class in Manhattan for anything for less than the price that you guys charge.
Thank you. That's a good point. That is a very good point.
So for 3 days, all day pass, and the agenda that you guys had, anybody who is complaining about the price is not seated in reality. So I just wanted to back you up on that.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. And I think we're pretty much done with phone calls for now. I really, you know, you think you're finished. You're waking up and starting a new day, which I only did a few hours ago, and still it keeps catching. It's like jet lag. I don't know. And Auto Jack, you're here from California, so it must be doubly jet laggy for you.
Yeah, I don't think I've completely adjusted to Eastern time yet.
By the time you do, you'll be going back to the West Coast.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Wow. So. Yeah, it's we've been to a bunch of hacker conferences, you and me, and seen all kinds of fun things. We've seen What the Hack, I believe. Like, no, you weren't there. What the Hack?
No,
right?
I wasn't there.
HAL 2001.
Yes.
In Holland, and I think a lot of the same spirit can be seen in this.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that with the wireless connections and the hammocks, and maybe next time there should be tents.
There was a tent. Someone pitched a tent on the floor in the second floor, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah. You know what? I did see that.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. All right, let's try to take one more phone call. You're the last call. What's on your mind?
Fantastic, Emmanuel. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
This is my fourth conference, and I have to say, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that right now, because I don't know if it's just stunned satisfaction that it all went smoothly and that it's over and everyone's happy, but it really feels like we are going forward and doing it better each time.
It just seems like everyone from, you know, the tech crew, the AV people, everybody seemed to be on the ball. There were very few outward problems that could be experienced.
Yeah, and any problems that there were got dealt with. And let's not forget our security guys, too, who really did a phenomenal job keeping the place secure, safe, making sure any kind of problem was taken care of quickly and professionally. And, God, we couldn't do any of this without them.
Well, once again, thanks to everybody, and I hope you keep doing it.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Calling from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, okay. Thanks, thanks for coming. And again, we'll be on Off the Hook tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on WBAI and also on its website if you're listening to us there, talking more about this conference. Gosh, I'm sort of at a loss. I'm sort of at a loss as to what else to say. Looking at some of the stories that are appearing, this is something that was on the Washington Post site, I believe. Yes, it's one of these articles / blogs that they have on the Washington Post. Here at the Number 6 Conference, Help Number 6 Conference in New York City, hacking windows is a popular pastime, but hackers who didn't bring their needle-nose pliers to the Hotel Pennsylvania may have had a harder time of it. You see, the windows in each room are tethered with a pair of wires on either side, preventing guests from opening the window more than a few inches. I didn't know about this.
I noticed this.
I didn't spend much time in my room. Hackers tend not to like restrictions of any kind, which is probably why, from the vantage point of my room on the 11th floor, I saw so many people trying to hack their windows. But sometimes when you're hacking windows, unexpected things can happen. Like sometime before before dawn this morning, a huge crash jolted me awake. It seems someone's windows had crashed.
Like fallen to the ground?
Shouldn't it say someone's window had crashed, not someone's windows had crashed, but whatever. Not a whole lot going on here that's news breaking, but I am having a ton of fun meeting lots of smart hackers. I spent a few minutes at the table set up by the Graffiti Research Lab, which provided me an assortment of tiny batteries, magnets, and a colorful array of light-emitting diodes for anyone who wanted to make their own throwy, which is a non-destructive and eye-catching form of digital art. GRL describes throwies as an inexpensive way to add color to any ferromagnetic surface in your neighborhood. A throwy consists of a lithium battery, a 10-millimeter diffused LED, and a rare earth magnet taped together. Throw it up high and in quantity to impress your friends and city officials. More info and a cool video of what you can do with throwies is here on this link. Mine stuck beautifully to an air duct about 20 feet up from one of the conference room floors. I caught an interesting and in-depth talk on lockpicking and then headed over to the lockpick village to test my skills. Picking locks is not that hard, though some locks require proved more stubborn, that is, more challenging than others. After that talk, oodles of people swarmed the table two guys had set up to sell lockpick sets, but I wonder how many people paid attention to the warning during the session that merely possessing a set of lockpicks without being a bona fide locksmith can get you in trouble in most states. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And that's from the Washington Post site, the Washington Post blog site.
Very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. And, of course, we'll be gathering a lot of different views, comments, pictures, experiences, and putting all of that together onto our website at www.hopenumber6.net. So our time is just about up. In fact, I think I'd like to play some of the closing themes. Oh yeah, that indicate the end of an era, the end of an adventure, the end of one story and the beginning of the next story. And while Hope Number 6 fades into memory, we can start thinking of what we're going to call the next one in 2 years and other fun projects and things to do. And let's not lose touch with the people that we've met at this conference and old friends that we've come in contact with after so many years of not seeing them. And I guess keeping our minds open and not discouraged because of all the garbage going on in the world. I know we usually spend this hour talking about that, and it's kind of nice to get away from it for a little while. I felt such comfort just not knowing what's going on in the world for a little bit of time. I mean, it's kind of hard in the Hotel Pennsylvania because every elevator has a CNN feed in it. So it, I don't know, Jack, you kind of were forced fed the news, right?
Yeah, on the elevators, yeah.
It was annoying. And it's always developing story or breaking news or crisis somewhere in the world. But then before you knew it, you would arrive and your friends would be there. And there'd be a crisis, a local crisis that you had to deal with. And it somehow felt right, somehow felt comfortable. And, well, now that's over. Now that's done for the moment. But we'll be doing more things. We'll be playing with more toys and doing more projects and just having a great time. And hopefully you'll be around to join us for that as well. And I know we'll be more awake as the days pass, and we'll be telling more stories and things like that. You can write to us at this particular radio program, otw@2600.com, with your comments on this particular show. And we'll be having some means of people to post their memories and experiences and things to the Hope Number 6 website. So stay tuned to that for that announcement. Autotech, before we take off for the evening, any closing comments?
No, I think I'm all right.
You're all right? Well, the listeners are all right. Do you think listeners are suitably informed as to what we've been up to? Good, good. All right. And just remember, folks, one thing leads to another. You know, being involved in this radio station got me involved in the magazine. That got me involved in things like the conferences and traveling around the world. So it all sort of adds up. You got to think impractically. You got to think of the things that you like to do, not the things that necessarily will pay off financially. And before you know it, you're doing things that other people actually appreciate and are learning from and are getting something out of. And lives get changed, and it's really kind of a cool thing. All right, that's it for us here on this particular edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday night. Stay tuned for the blues. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow night on Off the Hook, next week on Off the Wall, and all sorts of other places in between. Have a good evening.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.